Good morning. I am happy to be here again preaching at Marsh Chapel and to be a part of this summer preaching series on Matthew and the costs of discipleship. I am even more grateful to be sharing this time with you on our annual cookout Sunday because I know what the menu is and lunch is going to be delicious. Unfortunately, the weather hasn't cooperated with our plans, so we will have an indoor cookout downstairs after the service together. For the past month, members of our ministry and hospitality staff have been participating in new student orientation sessions for the university. Each Thursday morning, we, along with other staff and students from departments around campus, take our places at tables set up in the gymnasium on the second floor of the Fitness and Recreation Center next to the Aganis Arena. The challenge with these types of events is to try to get students to engage with you. Groups of incoming students enter the gym, walking around with the few friends they've made during their two-day stay on campus, inundated with all of the opportunities. Find out about sustainability, or the band, or dining services, or the Newberry Center. There's so many great and wonderful things that can happen on our campus to support students every day. As you can imagine, religious life is not always the most popular attention-drawing option for students. However, thanks to our combined efforts, I think we've made great strides this year in welcoming these new students to our campus. The biggest draw to our table is a prize wheel. And you know why? Because everybody likes to spin a wheel. Except our wheel doesn't just have prizes. Instead, it asks questions of the students. So for example, a student might spin the wheel and land on, "What brings you hope?" Or, "Where do you find peace?" Or, "Name a spiritual practice." Despite the fact that we aren't just giving away free things if you spin the wheel, and don't worry, we also give away free things, students are genuinely engaging in answering these questions. Thanks to our associate chaplain, Jonathan, who's honed these questions over the 4 weeks that we've been doing this, the students are willing to carry on a brief conversation about what brings them meaning. One example of how simple these interactions can be summed up in this one exchange. A student spun the wheel, and it landed on, "What is an act of kindness you've experienced recently?" Surprisingly, many students earlier had struggled to answer this question. They would think and have a blank look on their face and then ask if they could spin the wheel again. However, this one student very confidently said, "Oh yeah, someone held the door for me today. That was nice of them." Hospitality comes in the small gestures of kindness that we show to others, and that helps us tell them that we see them and we recognize their presence. In these fleeting interactions with students, we've had a chance to establish a connection. It's not just us sharing information about opportunities for engaging religious life on campus, but it's starting the groundwork for a relationship. Sometimes students stick around and ask more questions about religious life. Maybe they have a tradition they're a part of, or maybe they're just curious and they want to learn more about other traditions and how they can get involved. Of course, there's also students who just want our cool swag, and we've got some pretty great stuff this year. But the majority take the time to have a brief conversation with us. Bringing welcoming faces and attitudes to new students is critical as they start their time at BU. It makes them feel a part of the greater community. Even more than that, what we aim to do through the Office of Religious Life is acknowledge each person's unique background, gifts, and interests that they have. No two students are exactly alike, and no two students' experiences at BU are going to be exactly the same. In welcoming students for who they are, we can help them to discover where their passions lie, connect them with other students, and help them find meaning in their time at the university. All are welcomed to take part in the offerings of Marsh Chapel and religious life, whether it's a meal, a worship service, a religious holiday celebration, or a weekly group meeting. Hospitality, welcoming others, is at the core of our Christian teachings, and indeed at the core of many religious values and teachings. If we reflect on the narratives told about Jesus' ministry, we will recall many occasions during which he offers a welcoming attitude to others, especially those who have been cast out or excluded from their societies. He eats with them, he heals them, he brings them back into community of their origin to be loved and accepted. Jesus' teachings and mission is about inclusion. In today's gospel, we hear Jesus instructing the disciples on how they're to go about doing their ministry in the world. Jesus' message is not about force or cajoling others into believing his message, but rather it is about being welcomed and accepted and returning that welcome and acceptance. The disciples who will be sent out into the world are dependent on those they encounter in their mission, providing hospitality for them, giving them a place to stay, giving them food to eat. However, it is not just the disciples as individuals that these communities accept. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. In ancient Mediterranean culture, the act of accepting a person from outside your own community or family meant that you accept all members of that outside community. By these communities welcoming the disciples, they welcome Jesus and God. The kind of hospitality to which Jesus refers is not some extraordinary feat. It is as simple as offering a cold glass of water to a stranger. It is in the very basic and everyday acts of looking after and caring for one another through which we extend God's love and care. We, in return, should recognize these simple acts of hospitality when they are extended to us. Hospitality can also take on more extreme forms, including offering sanctuary to those who are in threat of deportation, or safety for those experiencing natural disasters or homelessness. Hospitality and welcome cover a wide breadth of actions. However, these days, one might find it difficult to witness this. An interesting, if not disheartening, fact about modern Christianity is that these instructions of welcome seem to be lost in today's world. So many of the loudest Christian voices in our country are not welcoming others. Instead, they are actively excluding and harming them. From immigration to LGBTQ+ rights to anti-racism work, Christian voices seem to be the loudest in creating inhospitable conditions for others. I refer you to some of the recent decisions made by our Supreme Court regarding religion and First Amendment rights. As a response to these recent events, Reconciling Works, the organization advocating for full inclusion of LGBTQ+ individuals in the ELCA, my home denomination, posted a simple statement on Friday on their Instagram feed. The post, clearly pointing toward the Supreme Court's ruling with a gavel and judicial building outline along with a pride flag, stated, "Did you know that discrimination is not a Christian value? There is a false narrative across the country that claims that it is. Instead of bringing people together and welcoming them through kindness, there are those who continually seek to leave others out and persecute them." Christ's message cannot be any clearer. We are to love and welcome others for who they are. Today's passage is just one of many that highlights the importance of welcoming and affirming others. Perhaps what would be best for us is to think of times when we ourselves have not felt welcomed by others. I'm sure there might be at least one or two examples of when you've gone to a new place or met new people and felt like you weren't welcomed or included. For me, growing up with my dad serving as an interim minister, we would go to a new church every few years. And I came to understand the importance of providing a welcoming space to visitors or new congregation members. Often, my mom and I were the unofficial hospitality checkers for a new church when my dad would start serving there. Because they hadn't met us yet, most people would have no clue that my mom was the pastor's wife and I was one of his kids. I will not provide explicit examples, but there were definitely times when we didn't feel like people wanted to get to know us or even invited us to be a part of their community full time. Exclusion and outright rejection hurts. Being ignored is dehumanizing. Our intentionality around the communities we form must include a broad span of who we are willing to welcome and be welcomed by. We should be continually asking ourselves how we can create welcoming spaces for others upon which relationships and deep understanding can flourish. Today's gospel also takes a strange turn for our preaching series this summer. Jesus begins to discuss the reward of the prophets and the reward for one who gives a cool drink to another. Our preaching series this year is focused on the costs of discipleship in Matthew, not the rewards. To be sure, extending hospitality does not come without risks or costs. There are risks of others taking advantage of those offering hospitality or having nefarious ideas behind being hospitable to others. But in general, showing kindness and a welcoming attitude to others does not require a large amount of sacrifice or doesn't necessarily seem costly. Here, however, Jesus is very clear that there is a reward for those who extend hospitality to others. What is that reward? A reward in the sense is getting what someone deserves. But what one deserves may not be based on merit alone. This reward is from God, and God's criteria for deservedness may not match our own human ideas about what one deserves. Paul's epistle to the Romans from today's reading helps us better understand the reward mentioned here, the gift of salvation. Paul writes to the Romans, distinguishing between law and grace and sin and righteousness, directing them to recognize the way in which God's free gift of grace frees them to be in service to one another. For Paul, the overall message is not that one must do certain acts in order to obtain righteousness, but that because one is renewed and saved by grace, sanctification is possible. Not only that, but because of God's grace, we are able to go into the world and demonstrate the love of God for others through acts of service, including hospitality. God's reward is eternal life. It is not a reward that is earned, but rather a reward that is given freely to all. Today is a Communion Sunday here at Marsh Chapel, and I am particularly excited because we will be serving communion in both kinds today, meaning both wafer and grape juice or wine. With the exclusion of the individual grape juice and wafer communion packs that we had during the height of COVID, we haven't had communion with juice or wine since March of 2020 here at Marsh Chapel. And while it is perfectly acceptable to take communion only in one kind, that is only in wafer or bread form, it brings my heart joy to be able to offer both elements to you this morning. For me, God's radical hospitality is found most distinctly in communion. It is a time when we as a community are invited to come together as one and take part in the heavenly meal filled with God's grace. God's presence in, through, and under the communion elements brings us together into the body of Christ. Reminded of God's grace, we are then refueled to take God's hospitality out into the world to others as well and share it with them. We are a congregation that offers an open table, meaning that all who wish to participate in communion can come forward. You are welcomed to this table. Additionally, after the service today, we will have our annual summer cookout in the lower level of the chapel. Everyone is welcome to come. If you're here, you're invited. For some of us, it will be the first summer cookout with Marsh Chapel that we'll have attended. In our post-pandemic life, there have been many new faces who have become a part of our worshiping community, and perhaps those folks have not had the same opportunity to socialize with our congregation because we've been coming out of COVID. For others, this might be our 5th or 10th or even 15th cookout, and what I hope for each of us is to find ways that we can extend hospitality to each other. Maybe by talking with a new person, sitting at a table of strangers, or even offering to get someone a drink. There are so many ways we can exhibit these gestures of care for one another, from the very small, like a simple hello, to the larger quest for inclusivity and belonging of all people. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Amen.